Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Endocrinology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on the role of GLP-1 RAs in the management of type 2 diabetes. Specialists in the MDT involved in caring for patients with T2D, plus a patient advocate, share their perspectives on the rationale for using GLP-1 as a therapeutic target in T2D, the safety of GLP-1 RAs and how to manage their side effects, and the role of GLP-1 RAs in the T2D management pathway. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk AS. In this podcast, an endocrinologist and a primary care physician explore the role of GLP-1 RAs in the type 2 diabetes management pathway and real-world factors affecting selection of a GLP-1 RA. Plus, a patient advocate shares first-hand experiences of how GLP-1 RA therapy can help patients to achieve their glycemic and weight loss goals.
Hello, my name is Professor Michael Nauck, and I'm head of clinical research at the Diabetes Division at St. Joseph Hospital belonging to the Ruhr University in Bochum, Germany. I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Kevin Fernando, a GP partner and GP educational supervisor at North Berwick Health Centre in Scotland, UK. Welcome, Dr. Fernando. Welcome, Kevin. And I'm joined by Ms. Kelly Ann Hardy, a patient herself, but more so an advocate for others with type 2 diabetes, and she's from Margate, UK. Welcome, Kelly Ann. In this section, we will consider the question, what is the role of GLP-1 receptor agonists in the type 2 diabetes management pathway? And with this, I would like to ask Kevin a question. So what are the patient characteristics that should drive a prescription of GLP-1 receptor agonists?
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, so certainly in my own clinical practice, that the vast majority of my patients living with type 2 diabetes are living with overweight or obesity. So really, that is a key characteristic that I think should to drive earlier consideration of GLP-1 receptor agonists. Many of our older therapies did lower glucose, but unfortunately did tend to raise weight. So having this potent class at lowering glucose, but also secondary benefits of significant weight reduction, has been a really useful additional tool in my toolbox to tackle type 2 diabetes. So I think weight is a key driver for considering the early initiation of a GLP-1 receptor agonist.
So Kelly, let me ask you, what have you heard from your fellow patients? We have learned that GLP-1 receptor agonists, and this is pretty unique, may be shared with SGLT2 inhibitors, offer a chance to reduce the risk for cardiovascular events. Is that important, or would you also emphasize weight loss as the main driver for those prescriptions from the patient perspective?
I think that they are pleased that obviously it's going to protect their heart, but a lot of them are more interested in the weight loss side of it, because a lot of the people in the group are overweight, so are finding that they're getting a significant weight loss, which obviously is then helping with their cardiovascular side of things as well, because the weight isn't putting so much pressure on their heart.
Kevin, am I correct that some of our guidelines almost make it a must to prescribe something like a GLP-1 receptor agonist, alternatively an SGLT2 inhibitor, for a certain subgroup of patients with type 2 diabetes? And what is the rationale?
Absolutely. So I know I focused on the weight loss benefits of the GLP-1, which I still stand by. I think it's a key advantage. But yeah, absolutely right, Michael. what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, we've really established the atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease benefits of the GLP-1 receptor agonist class. And actually here in Scotland, the Scottish SIGN diabetes guidelines were updated towards the end of 2017 and gave us a nice simple key take-home message for everybody working in primary care. For my patients living with type 2 diabetes and coexisting atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, I should preferentially consider the initiation of either an SGLT2 inhibitor or a GLP-1 receptor agonist with proven cardiovascular benefit. And of course, that recommendation has been mirrored in many guidelines across the world now. And in particular, we have a clear steer, don't we, from the joint ADA, American Diabetes Association, and the EASD, European Association for the Study of Diabetes, consensus report, again, telling me to preferentially consider the use of a GLP-1 receptor agonist with proven atherosclerotic cardiovascular benefit in any of my patients living with type 2 diabetes and established atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, or indeed at high risk of developing atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. And very importantly, that's independent of the baseline HbA1c. So even if my patient living with type 2 diabetes has an HbA1c of 48 millimoles per mole, I should still consider that GLP-1 receptor agonist for the cardioprotective benefits rather than the glucose-lowering benefits.
So, Kelly, one of the things to be considered is that, as a rule, GLP-1 receptor agonists are injectable drugs. How does that affect your view on this class of glucose-lowering medications? Does it prohibit widespread use, or is it manageable?
Basically, once they get over the fear of injecting, a lot of the group find that they have a fear of needles. And once they get over that fear, they're fine and they just sort of get on with it.
Yeah. So I remember from my practice that was more related to insulin therapy that I often asked the patients, do you allow me to give you one injection today and then we'll talk about how you feel with it tomorrow? And then these discussions were usually very, very short because it is really not that painful. So we already heard that cardiovascular disease is a good indication, but not the only one. We learned about the relative freedom from the risk of hypoglycemia, but admittedly, there are more classes of glucose-lowering drugs that are not associated with hypoglycemia, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Hypoglycemia is something we need to be aware of for everyone living with type 2 diabetes. And, you know, there are, as you said, other classes that carry a low risk of hypoglycemia. I think certainly in my practice, and I'm sure you share the same experience, where I'm most aware is combining drugs together. So GLP-1 receptor agonist alongside insulin, for example. And here we do need to be cautious about that background risk of hypoglycemia, mainly driven by the insulin, of course. So here very much, we have to use our clinical judgment. But usually if I'm adding a GLP-1 receptor agonist alongside, say, basal insulin, I would maybe cautiously reduce that basal insulin dose by about 15%, 15 to 20%, depending on the individual, get them to check their blood sugars a bit more regularly, and I can either further reduce or put back up the insulin dose guided by the sugars. Importantly, though, we shouldn't too quickly reduce insulin alongside a GLP-1 or indeed discontinue it, because in rare cases, that might even precipitate DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis. So a very cautious stepwise reduction in the insulin dose.
So let's again talk about weight loss. So basically, we quote two classes, the SGLT2 inhibitors, which happen to be tablets, and the GLP-1 receptor agonists that reduce body weight. And we heard that GLP-1 receptor agonists usually are injected, with some new developments offering oral therapy as well. So taking into consideration both points, the mode of administration and the extent of weight loss, how do you judge GLP-1 receptor agonists, Kelly, and what do your fellow patients say?
People are happier, I would say, on the injections, purely because rather than the oral therapy, they find that the injections easier because it's once a week and the oral therapy is daily, so it's not as easy to forget. And they're getting better results with the weight loss, for example. One gentleman's lost over 30 pounds in 5 months. Another lady's lost 18 in 3 months. And on the whole, there's about 80% of the group that's having really good feedback. And obviously there's the 20% that isn't. But on the whole, most people are really happy. So that's where we are with the group.
That makes it an attractive choice. So, Kevin, a question to you. We heard about some struggles at the beginning of therapy when there are side effects. Do you think we can improve in terms of management of these side effects? So maybe by patient education, that they know better how to respond to certain phenomena, so to avoid drug discontinuation, for example?
Absolutely. I agree with you, Michael. Patient education is pivotal to enhance compliance and long-term concordance. So forearmed is forewarned. And so we need to tell patients about the side effect profile of GLP-1s, particularly those adverse gastrointestinal side effects. So often, even in advance of starting a GLP-1 receptor agonist, I'll ask my patients, suggest to my patients living with type 2 diabetes to eat smaller quantities, portion sizes, eat more frequently to try and get used to that change in eating pattern that often comes with starting a GLP-1 receptor agonist, that reduction in appetite. And starting low, going slow with dose titration, depending on which GLP-1 receptor agonist you're using as well, can be helpful to mitigate those side effects as well. But again, as Kelly had said, suggested herself earlier on, hopefully that individual living with type 2 diabetes sees that early weight loss. And as we all know, that's a real motivator, isn't it, to continuing with the therapy, to maintaining lifestyle change. So generally, I find that my patients with type 2 diabetes on a GLP-1 are keen to continue with good education, despite any potential starting side effects.
So thank you both for your contributions to this discussion. I think we have learned that there is a subgroup of patients with type 2 diabetes where it's almost a must to consider GLP-1 receptor agonists to prevent ischemic cardiovascular events, but that for large segments of the type 2 diabetes population, there are very convincing advantages relating to low risk of hypoglycemia and a chance to achieve considerable weight loss. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Endocrinology at www.touchendocrinology.com. Don't forget, there are 2 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.